Joel 2:1-2 and 12-17. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was of old, nor ever will be in ages to come. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20b to chapter 6, verse 10. It's page 1161 of the Pew Bibles. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. In great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God. With weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's stand as we listen to the words of the gospel reading tonight. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1 through to verse 6, and then continuing at verse 16. Matthew, chapter 6. Glory to Christ, our Saviour. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then in verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Let's give thanks to the Lord for this, his glorious gospel. Praise to Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, speak to us, for we are listening. Amen. Let's sit down. Really noticed that lots of people were talking about Pancake Tuesday yesterday. Did you notice it? It was kind of on the radio. I was driving the car and it came on. Today's Pancake Tuesday. Let's make pancakes. And big thing, Shrove Tuesday. People still seem to keep it. Very, very strange. Today is Ash Wednesday. But it's also, did you remember? Married Men. Valentine's Day. Did you remember, Mike? Excellent, good. And the world is making big on that kind of idolatrous kind of let's love and it's all romantic and it's a big time of selling. So now, you know, after Christmas, it's the first opportunity that the marketers get to sell lots of things to people. And the most people in the country today, that's what they'll be thinking about. But this little band of sisters and brothers have chosen to come tonight and remember something a little bit different. The love of God poured out upon us in Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to come together like this and to consider again what Lent is about. But Ash Wednesday is a little bit weird, isn't it? I always think it's a little bit weird, particularly if you do the imposition of ashes thing. Because it's the one time in the year that we leave the church with this mark on our head that says, I've been to church. And most people, the great thing is most people just think that you've got a dirty face. And they don't understand the significance of it. Such is the paganization of our culture. But it is a bit strange. And it's strange when it comes to the readings that we've just had. The passage from Matthew tells us that we should keep our faith private. We should keep it private. We shouldn't be showy. We shouldn't be seen to be faithful like the Pharisees. They love to be seen by others. Then we smudge ashes on our foreheads, mixed in with a little bit of olive oil to tap into that verse of scripture that talks about put oil on your head. To be seen by everybody with a big flashing neon sign. Apparently, the imposition of ashes was deleted or got rid of by the reformers in the Anglican world when the Reformation happened in England. It was taken out of the Book of Common Prayer in 1549. It's not in the 1552. It's not in the 1559. And it's not in the 1662. I think it was reintroduced in 1928. Someone else might know that better than me, but there was a huge gap. And it seems to be the reformers were just trying to say, no, we're not going to be showy, we're not going to show off. Ridley, the Archbishop, in a famous sermon called The Imposition of Ashes Idolatry, because of its potential to substitute a meaningless devotional act from the alluring love of God. But it's now a widespread practice in Anglican churches and even in evangelical Anglican churches like this one. And we do it, but we try to explain it when we do it. Lent is often described as a time when it's an opportunity to wipe clean our lives. So some of us will be thinking about what we're going to give up during Lent. Lots of my friends, this is what I love, lots of my friends on Facebook have been saying today, going to sign off Facebook for Lent. Telling us that they're signing, I'm being righteous, I'm signing off Facebook for Lent. Why don't they just do it and not announce, hello, you know, for the world to see I'm being righteous? I mean, really, I was a bit dubious. And I can't tell you how many of my friends, I'm not signing off Facebook for Lent, you'll be pleased. My wife's disappointed. But it's interesting, you know, what do they call that? Virtue signaling. And we ought to be very, very careful about how we might do that. That we don't virtue signal. It is a time when we think about our lives in preparation for Easter. And sometimes what happens is that people are thinking, I need to get ready for God to come. I need so that I am acceptable to God, that somehow if we do the right thing, if we say the right thing, I'll somehow draw nearer to God. And the awful thing about that is, in some way, it makes us think that we can do the work. That's one of the great problems with this time of year, that somehow by doing and saying the right things, we can draw near to God. But of course, the message is not about what we do for God, but what God has done for us. The good news isn't our activity, or it isn't about self-improvement. You know, the number of self-improvement books that there are available to us to help us get better as people, get stronger as people, is enormous. But it's not about us self-improving. This service tonight reminds us that we are unworthy. The good news isn't about our self-improvement, but it's about our righteousness outside of ourselves. The manifold and great mercies of God credited to our account, because we really can't live up to his standard. So we're going to impose ashes tonight, not as a sign of how pious we are, or how great we are, or how good we are. Quite the reverse. The reason that we take ashes upon ourselves is to remind us that we are not worthy. It reminds us of our sinful lives, our sinful condition, that we're dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses and sins, and that we are by nature fallen from God. The ashes remind us of the consequence of sin, that the consequence of sin is death. Remember what it says in Genesis 2, Genesis 3? You are dust, and to dust you shall return. And that's the result of our sin and our disobedience. But there is good news. Over the ashes, when we take them, we make the sign of the cross. And it's in the cross that we find our hope. Reminds us that Jesus has covered our sin by his death. Reminds us of the finished work of Jesus on the cross for our salvation, now and always. And as we come tonight, we are reminded of the value of prayer. Will we pray through Lent? Will we spend time with God? Will we fast when it's appropriate for us to do that? Maybe fasting from Facebook is the thing that some of us will do. Maybe fasting from food or drink or something. Will we take time to deny ourselves and lift up the Lord in our lives. But these aren't things that are ladders in our lives that help us get to God or even spiritual development. Instead, they're a grateful response to God who's come down from heaven to live the perfect life we can't live and to die the death we deserve to die. I was hearing today about the chaplain at Brixton, one of the chaplains, voluntary chaplains at Brixton Prison. I saw a video, maybe some of you saw it, from Christian Concern, who has been displaced by the new senior chaplain. The new senior chaplain at Brixton Prison is a Muslim. And he seems to have got rid of as many Christians and Alpha courses and things as he could. And the thing about Islam, of course, is that Islam is focused on somehow climbing up the ladder to get to heaven. And there's interviews with people, and all they talk about, ex-prisoners who have met this chaplain who has been displaced from being a chaplain on the chaplaincy team, and all they talk about is the love that they see in this man. Pastor Paul is his name. The love of God. And that's what we see poured out upon each of us at this time of year. As we enter into a Lenten experience, it's about coming close to God and experiencing the love, the passion that he has for us. And our response is to give to him as much as we can. If you listen to the gospel reading, there was something in there about fasting, something in there about prayer, something in there about giving. Responding to the love of God by giving as much as we can. So this is a time of repentance, turning away from our sin and turning back to God and rededication. These things are good for us to do. Remember what it said in Joel chapter 2, "Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." It's a good thing to do. Return to the Lord. That's what we do each and every Lent. But the imposition of ashes and the call to repentance always follow from God's grace, and they spring from his love. And even the repentance that we offer tonight, the turning away from sin, is a response to his love. So let's gather in a moment. And if it's right for you tonight to receive the ashes, then please do so. And do it joyfully. We're not meant to be miserable. We're not meant to screw up our faces like some people did when Jesus was speaking. People showed off, "Look how spiritual I am." It is a joyful thing because we think of the love of God shown to us in Christ. It's not about us. It's all about him. Amen. Let's sit down. So dear brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need we all have to renew our faith. So I invite you, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, by fasting and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, to make a right beginning of repentance. And as a mark of our mortal nature, we bow now before our Creator and Redeemer. Let's pray together. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So I invite you to come forward if you would like and receive these ashes. The ashes are made from last year's Palm Sunday crosses mixed with a little bit of oil. So remember your dust, and to dust you shall return. Bruce, remember your dust, and to dust you shall return. So let us repent and believe the gospel. Let's take time to confess to the Lord our sin. Just take a few moments to do this in silence. You might want to turn in the Bible to Psalm 51 if you find that helpful. But let's have silent prayers of confession to the Lord, and then I'll lead us in that prayer that's there. So let us pray. May the Almighty and merciful God, who desires not the death of a sinner, but that we turn from wickedness and live, accept our repentance, forgive our sins, and restore us by the Holy Spirit to newness of life. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's offer one another signs of reconciliation and love as we share the peace of the Lord with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's offer one another a sign of the peace of the Lord. So let's come and take the bread and the wine. Let's take communion. We're using a simplified form of communion tonight to help us. And everybody who loves Jesus is welcome to come and take the bread and the wine. So we've confessed before God and each other that we are a needy people. We've confessed that we have failed, that we've forgotten God. And yet we've heard that God has remembered us. Christ our Lord has invited to his table all who've confessed their sins and who desire to have Christ formed in them. Let us give thanks together that God has remembered us and yet has forgotten our sins. We say together, Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, because my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. On the night our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks, and he broke it. Then he said, this is my body that is for you. Do this as a means of remembering me. And in the same way, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. O Lord, forgive our forgetting. Remember us, O Lord, as we remember you. For as you remember, we have hope. So everyone draw near with faith. Receive the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ with hope in your hearts and with thanksgiving. It's the body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you. As our Savior taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. So let's go from here in peace to love and to serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.